Let's stand for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're here in your holy presence. We thank you, we praise you, we love you, Lord, for having blessed us this morning. We thank you for this opportunity, each one that's here. And Lord, we want to continue to worship, to open our hearts, and allow you to speak to our needs, to our inner needs. Lord, we're men, called to be men for you. Oh, Lord, help us. Pray that this time spent together this week would encourage us all. You know each one that's here. Some of us are struggling. Some of us are. You know where each heart is, and we just pray that you would visit us and bless us and strengthen your people, O Father, and that you would receive all the honor and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Let's start with the reading the first four verses of Ephesians chapter 6. We can probably say this by memory. We could probably stand and say it by memory. Children, it addresses children, and it speaks about fathers, and it mentions mothers. Let's just read what God's heart is here in His Word. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, that's us, brethren, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We've all heard these verses. Most of us probably have memorized these verses from childhood. Some of us maybe not. We also know the verse in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in a way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I feel, it's a blessing of the Lord we're here today. And we're men. You know, we're men are called to lead, to be servants. We are the ones who have a tremendous impact on the next generation. It's on our shoulders. Now, do you think this subject is on the Lord's heart? It's heavy on my heart. Think it is? Yes. When the title, they asked me, Brother Allen asked me what title I should put to this, and raising children for the King, thinking about kingdom and the kingdom building, and we're in the kingdom and we're all about this. But the other day, the question he gave me first was, why? Now listen to this. The question they gave me first was, why are we losing so many children? That's actually the message they gave me. And pray for me, because that's a serious question. It's heavy on my heart. It's been 50 years now that the church has started in Costa Rica. I was just a child when that happened. Brotherhood. We're living brotherhood. We're having a lot of blessings, a lot of struggles, a lot of difficulties. But the Lord's been good to us. But we have lost way too many of our children. Way too many. This message is heavy on my heart. We have Christian day schools. All of our churches have Christian day schools or homeschooling. None of our church people send children to public schools. We have our own system. And the brethren, they're excited about this. And we want something different. We like this. But then when we see them leaving, 1, 2, 3, going to the world, and they say, what's wrong? We have church services at least twice a week. We teach them to do family devotions. We're not sure how good they do it all the time. But we teach them to do family devotions. We have Christian schools, and yet we're losing a lot of children. just a few days before I came, I think it was Thursday, Friday, something like that, I sent out an email to my family, and I told them about this, and I said, please pray for me. Dad called me up. I don't know if some of you might know my father. He's 88 years old now, Sanford Yoder, and he called me up, and he said, Mark, that message burns on my heart. Mark, God bless you. I want to be praying for you. Now, I realize I have a problem here. In my heart, in my weight, it's down there. It's working with first-generation Christians. It's working with people who come in from the world, come in from the Catholics and the Pentecostal churches. And why are we losing so many of our children? I don't know how close I am to what's happening up here. But I imagine the basic things are the same. I imagine the basic issues are the same ones. But at any rate, it is on our shoulders. I have no idea. I mean, most of you are new to me. Some of you, there's a few scattered around that I've met before, but most of you not. But that doesn't really make much difference. Here we fellowship and worship God together, and we're brethren. I sense the Spirit of God here with us. But we do know this. It's on our shoulders. We have older men here. I have a hard time accepting my age. If you look at me, the color of my hair, I guess. But I still feel like a young man. But we have older men here. They're grandfathers. I'm so glad. We have older fathers whose children are getting older. We have a lot of fathers here whose children are still young. God bless you. God bless you. Then we have a lot of, I think, if I look over the crowd, I think there's probably a group of men here that are not married even. Some, I don't know how many. God bless you too. We need to all feel this weight. We need to all look at this subject. We need to ask questions. We need to seek the face of the Lord. And we know that any success, any blessing in our families is because of the blessing of God in our lives, in my life and in your life. You can't expect the church or someone else to cover up where you're not doing your part. So God help us. God help us. I like to, when I start a subject, I like to think how this relates to the character of God. This morning we had some beautiful teaching. Praise the Lord for that first message. I think we all sat here and worshiped the Holy Spirit, the God, the Logos. There was so much I could just hardly take it all. And the impact of the call of responsibility that the Logos wants to live in us and manifest his life. How does this relate to families? How does this relate? Let's look at Psalms 78. Psalms 78. I'd like to read the first 8 verses of Psalms 78. And it's all through the Bible. I read the passages I read earlier here. We'll be looking at that some more this week. But Psalms 78, verses 1 through 8. Let's just read this. And this is relating it back to the foundation of that first message we had. The second message was built on that. God's, the Holy Spirit wanting to work out a people of God. That's all through the Word. You know that? When I was young, I had this opportunity. An older brother said, Mark, I want to show you something. And he sat me down in his living room. And he took me through a quick steps through the whole Bible. And the whole emphasis of the Bible is God is looking for His own special people. He's calling out a people. He's calling out a people. And we heard a beautiful message this morning. Thank you, brother. God bless you again. Then I'm going to be speaking about another section. I was thinking about like a diagram or something. The family is a smaller part. And I agree with him 100%. I don't know where I would be without a brotherhood. I don't know where my children would be without a brotherhood. We need that. But I'm going to focus now in on the smaller unit. This little unit here that we need to work with is the family. Psalm 78, verses 1 through 8. Notice what he says here. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which ye have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength, and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, when he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. So is God interested in this? Yes. And what's it all about? Ever since creation, when God created the world, his purpose for man was that we would show his image, his likeness. We as human beings, and especially we as men, are called to, Brother Dale, señorear. But how does it, we're called to do what on the world? What are we called to do? What are they there? Let me just go back. Subdue it. Subdue the earth. We are called to have dominion over the earth. Okay, sorry. I went to Spanish. If you'd like, I could just finish this in Spanish. It's a lot easier. I do all my preaching in Spanish. So, I won't, for your sake. But he called us to have dominion. Now, it might have a negative connotation if you think about dominion and controlling, but he's called us to reign, to govern in the things of this world, in our families, in our communities. We're called, and as men especially, we're called to this thing of knowing how to lead and how to be servants and how to encourage and and the Anabaptist descendants have been very good at this when it comes to dairy farming and some other things. They've done real good development in some of these things. And that's part of it. You know? But it's also to know how to lead our families, lead our children, lead our wives, our churches. We're called to do that. But the reason for that is, what's the reason? God wants his glory to be shown. The glory of God. This glory that we talked about, Brother Dale, I just sat there and cried. You know how I do it. I sat there and cried. I sat there and cried and worshiped God. And then that longing born into me, Lord, somehow do that in us. Do that in us. That his glory be seen. The brother from Vermont was telling about that in his community. You know what? That is the purpose it's all about. We're here for. You've got to work to make a living. Yeah, we need to work. We need to do that. But remember, you're not here just to make money. We're here to show the glory of Jesus and do it with your way you're in for the job. There's nothing wrong with working. When you work, do it right. Do it good. But it's to show the glory of Jesus in our lives. And one of the most beautiful things we have is our families. I'm not sure which is most beautiful, because the one the brothers talk about is a church that works together. It is astounding to the world. It's wonderful to see. Don't be ashamed of it. In the same way with our families. Don't be ashamed of our families. Don't be ashamed of our wives, you know, the way they're dressed and the way we're there. It shows the glory of God. You know, a few years ago, I got a little discouraged. I was thinking about all the way this world's going. It's going bad. You know, all the technology and evil is just so close. It's just all around. It looks like this darkness is ruling in what's going to happen to us. You know what blessed me this morning? Sitting here with you and singing with you men. Hey, there's a group of men here. We're going for it. We're not being defeated. Right? The enemy's working, but we've looked at a group of men like this, and there's a lot more around. But we are called. The darkness is coming in, and you can always like sometimes, oh, the Lord, come and take us home. Let's get out of here. I'll let him decide when he does that. And I'm ready. I hope to be ready to go anytime. But I'm also aware that he might think now is the time, as never before. It's not a time to buckle under. It's not a time to be intimidated. It's not a time to bend over. It's a time to stand up and speak out and live what God wants us to live. It's a beautiful time to be alive. Challenging. And the worse the world gets, the more our families, and I'm going back to my subject, the more our families will stand out. And they say, wow. And I've had old hardened men, I won't go into the story of this one, old hardened, sin-hardened man tell me, Mark, when I see your family, when I see the young people of your church. And then he mentioned a sister in the church, and she was not beautiful, physically speaking. And he said, she is beautiful. What a woman. It's on her face, in her eyes. The joy of the Lord. So brethren, let's not be feel like we're defeated. We're not going under. Let's stand up to the call. And all I want to this 2 days, I'd like to encourage us to give us a challenge to step up, because we'll be talking about this more. There's an enemy that's also very concerned about our children, and he's at work. Why are we losing our children? Why do so many leave? That's not an easy question. And it doesn't have just a simple answer. We're in the computer age, so we like computers and we like these little programs, these little applications. You can just click here, click, 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 and then the computer sits and goes, and after about 10 minutes, it fixes the problem. Well, that's not the way it is with child training. There's not just one answer. There's different aspects to the subject. You pray for me. I'm not even sure. I'm praying that the Lord help me, and you pray with me, and that we can touch some important points. I'm not going to say that I'm going to have a balance view. I'm going to try to do what the Lord lays in my heart. But there's different aspects to this. It's not all one. You know? There are causes when children leave. There are causes. When children who have been taught about God, taught about heaven and hell, those tremendous truths, and they turn around and go to the world or go a different way, they're causes. Now, when I say that, I'm not saying it's all the father's fault. Now, we'll be addressing that this week, really, especially because we're men, right? Think about our part. But it's not. I'm not saying it's all the father's fault, but there are causes when that happens. And I think it's good for us to look at this, to think about it, and to see how we can fill in those gaps, what's lacking, what we can do to help strengthen that. It's not all on the father, yet it's good for us to, because there are causes, and it's good for us to stop and think. And So I'd like to encourage us with that this week, that we stop and think, because too often this subject is on sort of on the back burner. We let mom take care of the children, and we're busy with our things. But we need to really look at this. This is something serious. We need to pray and seek God's face. But there's not just one answer. Don't expect me just to give you now, in the next 10 minutes, I'm going to give you the answer. Boom. You've got it now. Stick it in your computer with a drive, and there it is. No. But there's different elements we need to look at, different things we need to look at, and I pray that the Lord would lead us in this, that we can look at this subject. Even if, you know, a child can go wrong, a child can choose wrong. You know, the best father, who is the best father? God. Jesus Christ. He's the best father. And there's thousands of men turning their backs on him every day. Do you understand that, what I'm saying? No? So it's not all with the father. Now, I don't want to minimize our responsibility, because we need to stop and think, what happened to my teen? I've seen so many cases. Have you? I'm sure you have. So many cases that the father seemed happy. His children are doing, you know, more or less, más o menos, like we say in Spanish, or coming along, más o menos, is more or less coming along. And all at once, the boy hits 13, 14, 15, and all at once, wow, I lost my son's heart. And I've seen so many fathers so frustrated, crying, what did I do? What do I do? But they've lost the connection with the son. And they try, but they've lost it. When that happens, there's always causes. It might not be easy to say what they are, that's something, but we as fathers need to look at those causes. We need to seek, and we need to be careful, and so there's different causes, and we need to seek God's face in this, that we can understand, and we can look, and we need to understand that we're going more than just for, I'm going to be talking about teaching obedience tomorrow, Lord willing. About teaching obedience, but it's not just disciplining a child, and I've seen that happen too. I remember back when I was young, there was this boy that dad used to tell us, or that dad would say, "Did you know this boy? You see how he obeys his father? You see how he's so obedient? You should follow his example." You know, dad would encourage him. You didn't see that? He seemed to be a very obedient boy, but when he hit about 14, 15, wow, all at once he was gone. He was out and gone. The boy was obedient in his father's presence. And I'm not saying, we'll talk about that tomorrow, about the need of teaching a child obedience, but we need to watch the hearts. We need to lead them by their hearts. And that's a big weight on my heart. And that was dad's burden. Dad on the phone and just, he's 88 years old, and he soon gets tired of talking. He'll soon say, "Okay, well, thank you, Mark. God bless you, Mark," and hangs up. And he gets tired. But he talked about some of the things he's thinking about that. The hearts, the relationship between fathers and sons. Can I lead my son by the heart? We need to use discipline, but can we lead them by their hearts? And am I an example worth following? Do I want my children to be like I am, to follow my example? Dad used to tell us, I don't think I'll ever be able to do that, but Dad, I remember telling us that he hopes the boys, "I hope you can stand on my shoulders." And when you'd say that is when you'd also be admitting some of his failures and confessing like some of his problems. "I hope you can stand on my shoulders." I don't think I'll will be able to do that. As far as that, but as you know, we need to look at this. I'm not sure about this. I'm from Costa Rica. I might have a wrong impression, but some of us are very good at business. Oh, right? And that's, you know why it comes from? If you come from a disciplined home, you've been taught to watch how you spend your money, and you've been taught how to use your time right and what to do and what not to do. Of course, that's the result is that you're going to prosper in your business. But I'm not sure we've always done as good. Well, let's say at least at home with the children. So I think it's good for us. And I'd like to, I don't think I'll be giving us all the answers. One thing I want to do is just, well, no, the Lord wants to do. I pray that the Lord would lay on our hearts the seriousness of this. Yeah. That we really get concerned about this. There's none of us here that's perfect. Maybe some of us are better fathers than others. I don't know if I can say that. I'm not perfect. I fail a lot. I've disappointed my children enough that they could be bitter against me. Anybody here could say that you haven't made mistakes? That your children could resent some things? I have. As a minister, I'm busy. I mean, I have so many things to do. I never reach around. I remember one time, there was a brother, an older brother. He's with the Lord now, and he was in our home. And I told him, I said, when I got married, I said, one of my goals was, I lived in Latin America and seen some missionaries and seen the problem of men that are involved in the Lord's work, so busy they neglect their families. That was something my wife and I talked about before we got married. When I get married, I want to make this a priority. But after a few years into my marriage, I said, "Lord, help me." I remember one day in my living room, I was telling a brother this. And I said, brother, he was older than I am. And I said, brother, I feel like I'm failing on this, not taking the time I should. And I remember so well, he looked me in the eye and he said, "Brother Mark, just do it. Just take time and do it now. Just take time and do it." I appreciated that. He told me that. Because I would like to encourage us that we make this a priority. We make this, and then some of us maybe we'll be talking about some of this later. Some of us might need to work at some healings and relationships with our children, because you can't lead a son if you have a serious conflict issue with him and he's, your heart's not with him. You can't lead a man like that. Have you seen how many times that there's a conflict between dad and the son and it's not resolved and the son wants to be as far away from dad as he can? And those things are the things we need to look at, and we need to pray and seek God's will. This week we'd like to look at some of that and just have a time of... I'm so glad I've had this time of prayer together. I need your prayers. And like I say, I'm not perfect. I have made mistakes. Praise the Lord. I have children that forgive me. I remember one time, if I want to say this, Brother Dale preached a message in our Bible school at home about relationships between father and children, and I remembered. I remember the time I got upset at one of my boys. I had asked him forgiveness before. I thought it was taken care of. I just wanted to make sure. And after that message, Dale, I never told you, I don't think, I went home and I said, "Son, have you forgiven me for sure? Is that taken care of? I want to make sure." That time, you remember? He said, "Yeah, Dad, it's okay. It's okay." But we need to understand more than just obedience and outward things. We need to remember that thing of those inner, the heart issues, and to be able to lead our children and be an example. And I wish I could be a perfect father, wouldn't you? But I'm not. So I'm going to take the next step. I'm going to try to show them what it's like to be a man that fails. And how grace of Jesus works in my life. And I can ask forgiveness and they can see. I hope they can say, "Dad's growing." Don't you think? I can be an example on that too, right? We can be an example. We don't have to be perfect. But, some other things here. What are our goals for our children? You know this. You've probably, some of you, I'm not a businessman. Brother Dale knows. I'm not a businessman. I'm a very poor one at that. I mean, my business is doing the Lord's work. But you know that when you go to a business meeting or you get to something, you need to have goals, right? You need to set goals. You need to have something you're working towards. You need to have goals. You know, what are the goals for our children? And again, I say we need to work. You know, the Bible says we need to provide for our families. If we don't provide for our families, we are... Someone finish that for me in English. Thank you. Peor que un incrédulo. I can say it in Spanish. Worse than infidel. So we need to provide for our families. That's an important part, but we need to not neglect. Our main thing is our children. And our children. I remember once being at the bedside of a brother who was, he knew he was cancer and he was on his way out and he was way home. He was going home. And I told him that, I said, and I told him, and it's true, I said, "You have some sons that are staying behind. They'll step up, take your place, faithful men." But you know, his heart was the sons that were not there. That was his burden, that's before he left. And so I'd like to encourage us, we should have goals. Do we have clear goals? Because one of the big problems we have is we are so busy and our interest is more in the business, in money, or maybe it's sports or hunting, or maybe it's we're so concerned about other things. One of the big problems men have is simply neglect. We think mom's going to do it all. And I would like to encourage us today to set goals and, you know, what am I, my involvement, what are the goals I'm looking for my children? And this, of course, then affects my example and so many other things. And then there's this difference between what we say and what we live. You know that? We all have a little difference there. some of it, sometimes there's people, I know some people that they can quote scriptures and they can talk Bible to you and they can rattle it off and they really sound impressive, but their lives are way down. So, sometimes it only turns you off when they even talk about the Bible because their lives are so far. All of us have a little bit of a gap there. All of us are struggling with that. But we should be concerned about that. What I say and what I tell my children and what I do. We need to be careful on that one, because you can turn your child off on you real fast on that one. If we talk big and live way down below. Do we focus on our children? Are our children important for us? As men, I ask this question. You know, my ministry is important to me. I'm not much of a businessman. My ministry is important to me. Brother Dale's ministry is important to him. He knows the struggle. Dale knows it better than anyone else here, probably. It's important to me than my ministry. But it is not right if I am so intent on the ministry that I neglect my dear wife and the children. You know, that's a priority. We need to take time. Do I intentionally give attention to this? Am I intent on this? If I'm not mistaken, some men, if they'd run their businesses like they run their families, they wouldn't do very good in business. You know how some men do? You know how we tend to do? We get so busy, we only deal with the children if they cause us problems. If it gets in my hair, and then I get after him. Or if he does something I don't like, then I get after him. Otherwise, let mom take care of it. I'm just saying some things. It's true about me too. You know, that we can get there. Just encourage us to think about this. Here's another thing. Do you know that Satan is very interested in your children? Do you think he is actively, intently, extremely, thank you, extremely intent on each one of your children? Oh, I appreciate this type of meeting. I'm going to go home and I'm going to encourage you to do something like this at home. Get a bunch of our men together down there and encourage them. This is a wonderful thing you're doing here. It's encouraging us. It strengthens us. It builds us up. But you know, this is not play. Because you men here, and especially you young men, all of us, but you young men, we have a lot to do with the future. If Jesus doesn't come back, he's expecting something of us. And so it is up to us, and we need to step up and do our part with prayer and call on the Lord and the Holy Spirit leading us. But we need to be intent on this. We can't just get neglectful. And because Satan is serious. And he can bring all kinds of things. But we need to be aware of that. Satan's work in my child's life. You ever think of that? Temptations, yeah, women, yeah, all this kind of sexual problems and all this, yeah, but what about just a simple thing like an accident or something happens and the child could get bitter? A few years ago, it's been over 10 years now, my wife had cancer, thyroid cancer. We first didn't know it, but thyroid cancer is, if you want to have cancer, I mean, you don't want to, that's a more favorable one, but anyway, it's easy to take care of it. When she was, she has a surgery. I forget, it was a year after surgery. It didn't know, the doctors would keep checking, did an ultrasound. Oh. The man that did the ultrasound said there's something there. Oh. When it comes back, it's worth it. And so we prayed about it. We cried together. My co-pastor had an anointing. And one of my concerns was with my children. Especially the two youngest ones. At that point, they were 12 and 14, about. Lord, may not get bitter. Not get, you know. We had a wonderful time. We cried together and prayed together and anointed her with oil. And it turned up to just be a little scar tissue. I don't know today, was it the Holy Spirit with the anointing, or was it just scar tissue? Sorry, I don't know, but we just praise the Lord, it's all taken care of. But I remember at that moment I was so concerned about my children. And I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I would so appreciate if she could stay for their sake. Yeah, and she's still with us, and she's such a wonderful wife. I'm not saying, but I knew that sometimes God takes wives like that. He does. But what I'm saying is to be sensitive to the hearts of your children. What's happening? What if the enemy is doing something here? The enemy is like a knock here, and a thing in school, and a thing here, and a thing there, and he's trying to get your child to get bitter, to get angry, to a brother to get angry at the ministers in the church. You ever think of that? Do you ever think about what you say at the dinner table might affect some of that? Anyway, so I'd just like to encourage us today that Satan has a goal. Satan is dedicated to reaching. Satan is not playing. He's dead serious. You've read Revelation chapter 12. He knows he's defeated. He's cast down. He's defeated. He knows he has little time, so he's very angry. He's going to do all he can. So he's after each one of your children, each one in your church. He's after you too. He has a goal for the children, and he's going to do his best to reach it. But praise the Lord. God has a calling for each of your children too. Each of your children is a personal, God has a personal plan for each one. He's helping you. He's on your side. And if we have the God, the Logos, and that word, the power of God, if we've got that working with us, don't get discouraged. Step right up and work with Him. God is on our side. And I say again, one of the most beautiful testimonies the Church of God has today, and if the Lord hasn't come 15 years from now, what's this world going to look like in 15 years? You ever think of that? It's changed, at least in Tome and Chachagua, it's changed in the last 15 years. This world has really changed. The young people. I like to be friends with the young people of town. I'll try to reach out. I try to be friends to them. But our youth are changing. It's harder to reach them. They're spaced out, and they're in this other world of all kinds of things. What's going to happen 15 years from now? But you know what? Suicide is up, and all kinds of drug addiction and all kinds of problems. But the worse that gets, the more beautiful the gospel. The more beautiful our love of families. You take these young people that have been in the world and hug them and love them. I love you. One young brother in church, his father committed suicide. His brother was killed. We're not sure if it was murder, was it drug related or what, all Satanism or something. Another brother was killed, and another brother's still in drug addiction. But the young man is serving the Lord. I put my arm around him, and I said, I want to help you. I want to help you get married. I want to help you get a good Christian family. We have something to offer. So let's stand up and let's make it important. We have some to offer our own children. We have some to offer. It's so easy, like the brother was saying, it's so easy to get so negative about, our churches, all churches have problems. The enemy's working in our churches too. If I'd be part of your church, I know there'd be some problems. If you're there too. We all have our weaknesses. And the enemy tries to work against us and get us all discouraged about our problems, and we start getting picky, and I'm sure the brother's going to teach about it. How do we handle this? Brother Abner, you look like a fine young man. I mean, he was in my living room a time back, and we got along fine. I mean, he seems great. But I'm sure if we'd spend some time together, if I wouldn't find him in you, you'd find him in me. We'd have a little time getting along. But to the grace of God, that we can love each other year after year, the long term, 10, 20, 30 years, still love you, brother. We worked through a lot, but we still love you. That type in our families, that our children see that. And I'll learn it. Thank you so much, brother, for that this morning. That was so beautiful. The church is a wonderful thing for our children. God has a goal for our children. He's on our side. And if we do our part, we have all the power of heaven behind us. So don't let Satan scare you. We have all the power of heaven behind us. And so often he does way beyond what we even ask or think. Sometimes in the church and my family, I see the Lord working. And I say, thank you, Lord. Thank you. You know, he does way beyond what we can even ask or think. He's helping us and he's raising up his kingdom. Let's look now at Deuteronomy chapter 6. I'd like to look at this passage. You know it well. Brother Dale mentioned the Shema this morning. This is the passage that has the Shema in it. The Shema is what the Jews call the essence of their teaching. This is something, how is it? The Shema, the Jews would repeat it. Was it three times a day at least, I think? I'm not sure. The verse there, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. They have this thing that they would repeat and again. And here we have Deuteronomy chapter 6, the first, I'm going to read the first nine verses. And as we read this, let's just see God's heart for us. This is Old Testament, but this is also, can very easily be fit into the gospel. And we know how Jesus and his work makes this possible. But notice his heart. Notice God's heart here. And here he's talking first and thinking about fathers. He's talking first about me and God. You know, between me and God. And then God and me, and then the children that are my responsibility. To bring them along. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments, which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it. Now this is about us, what we should do, right? That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily as the Lord God of thy fathers has promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Here's the Shema now. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, first in our heart, burning in my heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently. There's that thing that I said, a lot of men are neglectful in this. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. I'll just read to there. The law of the Lord, our God. You know the story of Israel. God told Israel, he says, you're not a special people because you're so smart, because you're so good. You're a special people because of your God. And your God's laws. You know, we're not that special because my name's Yoder and whatever yours is, be it Anabaptist, whatever it is. We're not special because of our family, because of our name. We are special because we are called by the King. And our calling is to show off the King, to be like him. And listen, brethren, some of us are more able at certain things. Others are slower at certain things. Some of us are talkers. Some of us talk too much. I fall in that category. We talk and get ourselves in trouble. Some of us are quiet, don't talk much. Some of us get up front and can talk. Others halt and talk when they talk. That's not the important issue. Some of us are fast at certain things. Some of us are slow at other things. But all of us can believe in the Lord our God and serve Him and be an example of His beauty. Every single one of us. Did you know that one of the most beautiful testimonies the church has are women? Not like the world. Satan has taken women and made them you know, I use them like, but women, holy women dressed with long dresses. And like that man told me, he says, something on that lady's face, her smile, her face is so beautiful. You ever know that a lot of our testimony is on our face? A clean face. Do you even notice the difference between our young people and the world's young people? Oh, sometimes our young people, the world and the world. Jesus' young people walking like this, face open, clean. Long dresses. They're not showing off their bodies. I've heard so many men tell me, they're beautiful. I had a man tell me once when I was still young, and I was single, he was staying at our place, and we were laying in bed after the lights are out and we're talking, and he said, you know, I'd like to marry one of your sisters. I could have kicked him out of bed because what who did he think he was? He was from the world. But I understood him. He says, where I come from, there's no girls like this. Where I come from, there's no girls like this. We have our ladies are a beautiful part of our testimony. Right. Clean, honest, virgins, and serving the Lord, and you know, clean testimony. And even if in their past they're not virgins, now that they're in Jesus, they're new and they're free and they're happy. Beautiful testimony. We men need to encourage them, support them, stand behind them, lift them up. Our children. Do you know our children are a tremendous testimony? Do you know some people, some children go to the doctor's office and the children are climbing around the walls and up and down and around? And here's a story I like to tell. A few years ago, I was in the grocery store. And my daughter, Dorcas, is with me. And she's sort of a courageous young lady. She can do some things. But all at once, I see her dive after this little guy and grab him, little child, and grab him and hold him, you know, right in the grocery. Now, what's going on here, Dorcas? You know? And what's up, you know? And then I found out, here the mother told her, grab him, catch him, hold him. Because the little guy was running around the grocery store and up and around and all over, you know, grab him, hold him, catch him, like a little monkey. Your children don't do that, right? Our children are our testimonies. You know that? Big testimony. Big time testimony. They go to the doctor's office. They're respectful. They're nice. It's worth investing in that. It's worth investing time. And Satan's going to do all he can to keep you from it. Do you know that? Maybe this week we can stop and think, what are some of the things that Satan's getting me distracted? Doing things that are not as important. Because our children are important. And it's the glory of Jesus. The glory of Jesus in our children. In our girls, in our boys, in our families, in our marriage relationship. The world's looking and saying, wow, they love each other. Yeah, who was saying that this morning? About the difference. Oh, I read a newly married couple walking in the sunset. That was a beautiful stage in life. I remember that. But I hope now I'm 62 years old. Hope. I just heard someone say it just the other day. It blessed my heart. Give the Lord credit. He said, Mark still loves his wife. He's still in love with his wife. We've had our struggles. You men know it. We've had some serious things to work through. It's not always been easy. But I hope our children see that we work through them and we still. Have you ever kissed your wife's tears? Have you tasted the salted tears after we're asking each other forgiveness? I have. Late at night, taking care of some of those different difficulties. We all do that, right? But if the world can see and if your children can see, and Dad, and my children see some of our conflicts. We try to hide it, but they, you know, they see some of it. But they can see Mom and Dad work through it, and they still love each other. Jesus victorious in His people. That's the, what was that word for power? Dynamite. That's the dynamite we need. In our relationships where we can work through things and still love each other. And people look in and say, you know, this thing of the gender, just transgender and all this kind of stuff that's going on. It's awful. I know it is. And I want to speak up at the right time against it. But I'm not going to go out and blow a trumpet against it and make a big... I think we should just simply show the difference. and give a call. Give a call to come into the Church of Jesus Christ where love lasts and where love can be real. Brother Abner, where are you? I'm finishing my notes before my time's up. That doesn't usually happen, does it, Dale? But I think it's okay. I'm just going to quit. I think next comes prayer time. Oh, there you are. I think today the main emphasis is just a call to open our hearts to what God wants us to be and where we're still short. And maybe we can just use that. And well, of course, the other messages too. We have a lot to pray about. And I would like to encourage you. I want to do that. I'd like to encourage you to open your heart. In the prayer time, say, Lord, show me. What's the area that I need to work on? My children, my wife, or you're a young man that's not married yet. You're getting ready for that day. What should I work on? What is the Holy Spirit wanting to do in my life to prepare me for this? To raise up the glory of Jesus. And again, I want to encourage, I want to bless the Lord bless you, brethren, because it's encouraging me to see a group this size that get serious about serving God. With a group this size, the States has got a lot going for it. We need more, and there are more, right? But you know what I'm saying? God is interested. In 2019, God is interested in people that are willing, they're going to stand up and make a difference. And it's not going to be at the polls, and it's not going to be talking a lot about Trump and all this kind of thing. Or about the wall, how did he say earlier? Did you, on the 1st of January, I preached a message on the last chapter of Revelation. It's the last chapter in the Bible. Study it. I'm not going to go into it. That's got a lot of good things for us to face the future. And the main emphasis is just keep on being faithful. Keep the commandments. Just hang in there, like we'd say. Just be faithful. And we'll shine. And we'll shine for the glory of Jesus. God bless you, Brother Abner.